Segment 2. Halt, dwarf, said I. Either I or you. I, however, am the stronger of the two. You know not mine abysmal thought. It could you not endure. Then happened that which made me lighter. For the dwarf sprang from my shoulder, the prying sprite, and it squatted on a stone in front of me. There was, however, a gateway just where we halted. Look at this gateway, dwarf, I continued. It has two faces. Two roads come together here. There has no one yet gone to the end of it. This long lane backwards, it continues for an eternity. And that long lane forward, that is another eternity. They are antithetical to one another, these roads. They directly abut on one another. And it is here, at this gateway, that they come together. The name of the gateway is inscribed above, this moment. But should one follow them further, and even further and further on, think you, dwarf, that these roads would be eternally antithetical? Everything straight lies, murmured the dwarf contemptuously. All truth is crooked. Time itself is a circle. You spirit of gravity, said I wrathfully, do not take it too lightly, or I shall let you squat where you squattest, Haltfoot, and I carried you high. Observe, continued I, this moment. From the gateway, this moment, there runs a long eternal lane backwards. Behind us lies an eternity. Must not whatever can run its course of all things have already run along that lane? Must not whatever can happen of all things have already happened, resulted, and gone by? And if everything have already existed, what think you, dwarf, of this moment? Must not this gateway also have already existed? And are not all things closely bound together in such wise that this moment draws all coming things after it, consequently, itself also? For whatever can run its course of all things, also in this long lane outward, must it once more run. And this slow spider which creeps in the moonlight, and this moonlight itself, and you and I in this gateway, whispering together, whispering of eternal things, must we not have already existed? And must we not return and run in that other lane out before us, that long weird lane? Must we not eternally return? Thus did I speak, and always more softly, for I was afraid of mine own thoughts and arrear thoughts. Then suddenly did I hear a dog howl near me. Had I ever heard a dog howl thus? My thoughts ran back. Yes. When I was a child, in my most distant childhood, then did I hear a dog howl thus, and saw it also, with hair bristling, its head upwards, trembling in the stillest midnight, when even dogs believe in ghosts, so that it excited my commiseration, for just then went the full moon, silent as death, over the house. Just then did it stand still, a glowing globe, at rest on the flat roof, as if on someone's property. Thereby had the dog been terrified, for dogs believe in thieves and ghosts. And when I again heard such howling, then did it excite my commiseration once more. Where was now the dwarf, and the gateway, and the spider, and all the whispering? Had I dreamt? Had I awakened? Twixt rugged rocks did I suddenly stand alone, dreary in the dreariest moonlight. But there lay a man, and there, the dog leaping, bristling, whining, now did it seem to me coming. Then did it howl again. Then did it cry. Had I ever heard a dog cry so for help? And verily what I saw, the like I had never seen. A young shepherd did I see, withering, choking, quivering, with distorted countenance, and with a heavy black serpent hanging out of his mouth. Had I ever seen so much loathing and pale horror on one countenance? He had perhaps gone to sleep. Then had the serpent crawled into his throat. There it had bitten itself fast. My hand pulled at the serpent and pulled in vain. I failed to pull the serpent out of his throat. Then there cried out of me, "Bite! Bite its head off! Bite!" So it cried out of me, my horror, my hatred, my loathing, my pity. All my good and my bad cried with one voice out of me. You daring ones around me, you ventures and adventurers, and whoever of you have embarked with cunning sails on unexplored seas, you enigma enjoyers, solve to me the enigma that I then beheld. Interpret to me the vision of the most lonesome one, for it was a vision and a foresight. What did I then behold in parable? And who is that must come some day? Who is the shepherd into whose throat the serpent thus crawled? Who is the man into whose throat all the heaviest and blackest will thus crawl? The shepherd, however, bit as my cry had admonished him. He bit with a strong bite. Far away did he spit the head of the serpent and sprang up. No longer shepherd, no longer man, a transfigured being, a light-surrounded being that laughed. Never on earth laughed a man as he laughed. Oh, my brethren, I heard a laughter which was no human laughter, and now gnaws a thirst at me, a longing that is never allayed. My longing for that laughter gnaws at me. Oh, how can I still endure to live? How could I endure to die at present? Thus spoke Zarathustra. Chapter 47. Involuntary Bliss. With such enigmas and bitterness in his heart did Zarathustra sail o'er the sea. When, however, he was 4 days' journey from the Happy Isle and from his friends, then had he surmounted all his pain. Triumphantly and with firm foot did he again accept his fate. And then talked Zarathustra in this wise to his exulting conscience. Alone am I again, and like to be so, alone with the pure heaven and the open sea, and again is the afternoon around me. On an afternoon did I find my friends for the first time. On an afternoon also did I find them a second time, at the hour when all light becomes stiller. For whatever happiness is still on its way twixt heaven and earth, now seeks for lodging a luminous soul. With happiness has all light now become stiller. O afternoon of my life, once did my happiness also descend to the valley that it might seek a lodging. Then did it find those open, hospitable souls. O afternoon of my life, what did I not surrender that I might have one thing, this living plantation of my thoughts and this dawn of my highest hope? Companion did the Creating One once seek, and children of his hope. And lo, it turned out that he could not find them, except he himself should first create them. Thus am I in the midst of my work, to my children going, and from them returning. For the sake of his children must Zarathustra perfect himself. For in one's heart one loves only one's child and one's work. And where there is great love to oneself, then is it the sign of pregnancy. So have I found it. Still are my children verdant in their first spring, standing near one another, and shaken in common by the winds, the trees of my garden and of my best soil. And verily, where such trees stand beside one another, there are happy isles. But one day will I take them up and put each by itself alone, that it may learn lonesomeness and defiance and prudence. Gnarled and crooked and with flexible hardness shall it then stand by the sea, a living lighthouse of unconquerable life. Yonder, where the storms rush down into the sea and the snout of the mountain drinks water, shall each on a time have his day and night watches for his testing and recognition. Recognized and testing shall each be, to see if he be of my type and lineage, if he be master of a long will, silent even when he speaks, and giving in such wise that he takes in giving, so that he may one day become my companion, a fellow creator and fellow enjoyer with Zarathustra, such a one as writes my will on my tables for the fuller perfection of all things. And for his sake, and for those like him, must I perfect myself. Therefore do I now avoid my happiness and present myself to every misfortune for my final testing and recognition. And verily, it were time that I went away, and the wanderer's shadow and the longest tedium and the stillest hour have all said to me, it is the highest time. The word blew to me through the keyhole and said, come. The door sprang suddenly open to me and said, "Go!" But I lay enchained to my love for my children. Desire spread this snare for me, the desire for love, that I should become the prey of my children and lose myself in them.